Russ and I are far from perfect, but we've done our level best to protect the environment throughout our adult lives. I can't justify the carbon emissions I cause by driving at all, taking a hot shower, ordering anything from out of town, producing and posting my blog and podcast on my computer, watching TV, or just about anything else I do. I feel guilty about the energy and resource-intensive MRIs and mammograms I've had, especially when I think about how, by lengthening my life at all, medical care has also extended the number of years I'll be using so many resources. And I obviously cannot begin to justify the carbon emissions when I travel anywhere by air. An excellent book that came out in 2022, Low Carbon Birding, with contributions from 30 birders from newbies to professional ornithologists, discusses the ironies of chasing birds and how shifting to climate-friendlier approaches is wonderful on many levels. It was a great read, and I agree wholeheartedly with just about everything in it. But at the same time, I'm thrilled that one birder, Peter Kastner, just broke the 10,000 species mark, something that had long seemed an impossible achievement. Many of my environmentalist friends celebrate space exploration without a second thought to its unfathomable carbon footprint. Most of us celebrate excellence when it comes to science, literature, and amateur sports. A lot of us will be riveted to the Olympics this year, hardly giving a thought to how much travel is involved in training and competing at that level. Non-renewable fuels are precious indeed, but I think using them for essential or deeply fulfilling reasons is not quite the same as squandering them. Just as when a person of limited means buys a yearned-for expensive item, cutting corners in other ways to afford it, we don't say they've squandered their money. It's ironic as well as guilt-inducing that my ability to do my work effectively bears a heavy carbon cost, but that makes me try even harder to conserve energy on other fronts. Fortunately, I'm self-employed and earn so little money that I can't afford to fly regularly anyway. When I do, I never complain about how crowded planes are. The more passengers are crammed in, the less fuel is burned per passenger mile. I'm not the only one anxious about my air travel. Every time I mention traveling on my blog or radio program, I get at least one email chastising me for being so wasteful. Even as I'm happy that people are concerned about natural resources and climate change, I've learned not to engage with strangers about my personal choices. I already feel guilty about traveling, and it's crushing to realize how many people consider my life's work worthless and even frivolous. One man told me his wife must fly for business, and yes, sometimes he accompanies her, but that's a lot different from them just bird watching. During my recent trip to Hawaii, I got an email from one UK reader scolding that I should have taken a train to one of the southern states or Mexico if I, quote, wanted a bit of sun. Ironically, the fact that someone from London is even aware of a bird watcher from Duluth, Minnesota, suggests that I'm at least a little effective in reaching out to the public about birds, even if I failed in raising his awareness that the endangered Hawaiian birds are endemic species found nowhere on planet Earth except Hawaii. A trip to one of the southern states or Mexico would not get me anywhere near EEVs or palilas. As an American, I feel a responsibility for the well-being of American birds, including those of our 50th state, which is considered the bird extinction capital of the world. The only way I know how to help these disappearing treasures is to educate people about their plight. I'm in no position to judge the carbon footprints of those who try to lay a guilt trip on me about mine, but I'm also not going to let them dictate my choices. My best may not be good enough for them or even for me, but it really is the best I can do. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.